all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Mary Pat Tucker, a suicide prevention coordinator with the Ann Arbor VA. Mary Pat, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have somebody with your expertise on Veterans Radio. Over the years, we've certainly talked about the suicide problem that exists among veterans, but sometimes it's those doing the talk and don't have the expertise. So we're glad to have somebody with your expertise. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up as a suicide prevention coordinator.
Sure. I'm a licensed independent social worker. My licensure is in the state of Ohio. I work for the VA, the Ann Arbor VA healthcare system, and I'm actually located at our outpatient community-based clinic in Toledo, Ohio. So I've worked with the Ann Arbor VA for 9 years now. I came in as a mental health therapist in our outpatient clinic in Toledo. And then for about 5.5 years, I was a supervisor in our HUD-VASH program, which is part of the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans program, where we help veterans get connected with HUD-VASH vouchers and permanent independent housing. From that position, I moved over to the suicide prevention coordinator position about 2.5 years ago, and have been in this position ever since.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. For a moment, why don't you tell folks what a community-based outreach clinic, or CBOC, is all about?
So our community-based outpatient clinics are connected with the primary VA hospitals, but we were we're a distance away from the hospital, so folks that have to travel, say, 1-2 hours away to get to the Ann Arbor VA have the option of coming to our outpatient clinics for, in Toledo here, we have primary care, we have the mental health clinic, there's an eye clinic here, physical therapy, dental services. So it's very much like the general population would go to access health care in a setting outside of a hospital.
And this CBOC approach, which spreads the geographic reach of the VA, is something that's really been adopted and spread throughout the whole country, hasn't it?
Correct, yes.
Well, I just wanted to, I don't think we've talked about CBOCs before on Veterans Radio, so I thought I'd grab the opportunity to explain what that's all about and why people ought to be looking to see if there's a CBOC closer to them and maybe something that they could utilize.
And we cover a wide range. For the Ann Arbor VA, we've got a CBOC in Toledo, Ohio, up in Flint, Michigan, and over in Jackson, Michigan. So we cover, I think it's about 18 counties that we were able to cover through the Ann Arbor VA between the hospital and our CBOCs.
Well, before we start talking about the specific program, which is preventing veteran suicide by partnering with faith-based organizations, let's start with Mary Pat, maybe telling us a little bit about the current status of the veteran suicide situation.
The current status or numbers for veteran suicide are approximately 20 veterans per day dying by suicide, as well as approximately one active duty military personnel per day. On top of that, the most recent numbers I have, which are from 2016, unfortunately, we don't have or later numbers than that, but on average, there are 764 suicide attempts per month among veterans who are receiving VA healthcare services. The unfortunate thing attached to that then is we figure of the 20 completed suicides per day, there's only about 14% of that, or only about 6 veterans per day that are dying by suicide that are connected with VA services. So our goal with our outreach projects is to get out and reach those other 14 veterans who are not already connected with VA.
I think that's an astonishing fact that most of the public wouldn't realize, is that the vast majority of these suicides are people who are not taking advantage of the services available by the VA. Can you talk about
Correct.
That a little bit more?
You know, I wish we had more information, you know, on the specifics of that. There it may be folks who are connected with other healthcare services in the community and folks who are not. That's what we're trying to get our community partners to help us learn more about, and to help us, you know, when we're out there doing outreach, we're certainly there to help veterans make connections with the VA, but also, you know, we're there to help them connect with any healthcare service that can be helpful to them.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter who gets them, provides the help.
Right.
We just want to make sure they get the help. And this is a problem that is not unique to male veterans, is it?
Correct. It is not. And the number of female veterans who are attempting and dying by suicide is actually growing. The gender disparities, women actually attempt suicide 3 times more often than men. However, men die by suicide 4 times more often than women. And that has to do with the methods used. Men are more likely to attempt suicide by much more lethal means, like firearms.
And along with firearms, what other methods are used by veterans in this regard, so that their loved ones might be aware of what they ought to keep an eye out for?
Mm-hmm. It's very much like the general population. I mean, there's firearms. Veterans, male and female, are more likely to utilize firearms than the general population. However, there's also poisoning with medication or illegal street drug overdoses. There's hangings. There's jumping from high areas. So the methods used are very, very similar to the general population.
So this is a challenge that the VA has really been focused on for a number of years. You've been in your position as a suicide prevention coordinator for at least a couple of years. Can you talk about sort of the general services that are available at VA to limit the risk associated with suicide?
The services overall through the VA, there's a very wide range of mental health services available, with individual therapies, group therapies, all evidence-based, for whether it be specifically for post-traumatic stress disorder or other mental health concerns. We have substance use disorder programs, inpatient and outpatient, nationally across the VAs. And then there's the suicide prevention teams. The suicide prevention teams have been around for, I want to say, approximately 12 years, but I don't know that number exactly. But what we do as suicide prevention coordinators, a big part of what we do is outreach. So we're out at community events. We're out providing trainings in the community as well as within the VA. We assist primary providers with identifying high-risk veterans and provide additional consultation and interaction with those veterans whether it be by phone or touching base with them when they're in the clinic. We provide safety planning groups for folks who are on our inpatient psychiatric unit, so that they're going home with a concrete suicide prevention safety plan. When they walk out the door, it's not a contract, you know, that states, I promise I won't. It's a clear plan on, you know, what triggers these thoughts for me? What tools do I have available that are going to help me work through those triggers? Who can I reach out to specifically? Who can I call? Where can I go? So there's a real clear on paper plan for them to go home with. We also field crisis line calls, the Veterans Crisis Line. If a veteran or a concerned other, a family member, a friend, a clergy member calls the Veterans Crisis Line on behalf of a veteran, our teams are notified and we follow up with that veteran.
So let's give that Veterans Crisis Line. Maybe we'll do it. Make sure we do it a couple of times throughout this interview. And that really is sort of a when all else fails, start here kind of direction, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Because they can not only get the veteran connected with suicide prevention teams at any VA nationwide, they can also, in emergency situations, access first responders immediately to get somebody out to the veteran's home to provide immediate assessment and care while the crisis line responders stay on the phone with them through that process.
And that 800 number is 800-273-8255, and the prompt is press 1, and someone's on that line 24/7, 365 days a year. Isn't that so?
Correct. Yes, and they will stay on the phone with the veteran as long as they need to be on the phone with them.
And if necessary, they can reach out to a local. If I'm calling you from rural northern Michigan, they can reach out to the sheriff's office and get somebody to that location.
Yes.
That's sort of immediate response with somebody who's going to get there, not only be listening, but who maybe can help show up and de-escalate the situation is so important.
Yes, it is. And one thing that we do with the suicide prevention teams, along with following up on those referrals and those calls that are made to the crisis line, we communicate with those responders at the crisis line directly. And if there's someone who maybe has been having a chronic mental health crisis and is calling on a more frequent basis, we will talk with those responders and consult with them and figure out the best plan of care so that we can work together to get that veteran the help that they're needing and looking for.
Well, as I said, VA has been involved in this and really trying to figure out the best solution to tackling this problem. And that kind of brings us to this new initiative it's trying called Preventing Veteran Suicide by partnering with faith-based organizations. And this kind of came out of what is referred to as a Shark Tank initiative, where somebody in VA said, we ought to try this. And the Ann Arbor VA and you in particular are one of three locals piloting this partnering with faith-based organizations. Tell us about that program.
The program is called Cultivating Hope in Caring Communities. And what we do, the VA staff member that came up with this idea is a suicide prevention coordinator in Albany, New York. So he developed a program for us to go out county by county. We invite all of the faith-based organizations in that county to come out for our training and presentation to provide some information and tools on how to first identify somebody who's in a mental health crisis, From there, how to have the important conversation, how to ask that question, are you having thoughts of suicide today? And from there, how to help that person get connected with the help that they're needing, whether that's emergency help, helping somebody with getting connected with first responders and getting to a hospital, or making that referral to the Veterans Crisis Line so that the person can be connected to a VA, or whatever is needed at that moment. So along with that program, we provide some education about lethal means safety. We provide, through the VA, we provide gun locks at our trainings, as well as medication return envelopes. So we talked earlier about, there's many ways that people are attempting suicide. So we provide a little bit of information and some resources and tools on how the faith-based communities can help provide some safety measures through those gun locks and med return envelopes to reduce risks in the home.
Well, I think it's an interesting idea and one that makes sense. That doesn't always mean we follow through on it, but where the VA is sort of saying we need more boots on the ground in the communities, and oftentimes these are rural communities where there's not going to be a base or a VA or even a CBOC, and turning to the faith-based community, which is on the ground, kind of gives you those extra eyes and ears to work with, doesn't it?
Exactly, yes. And it's one way of many that we're just, as a system, trying to be more creative on how to develop some and strengthen some community partnerships, and ask those folks in the community to not only ask them to help us, but provide them with some tools on how to do that.
How has this pilot program been received by those kind of community partners who are faith-based that you've reached out to so far?
We have had some responses coming back in where one thing that I invite when the training is done and when I go out and do these trainings, it's myself and our lead chaplain at the Ann Arbor VA that goes out and provides the training. So when I do my part of the conversation, I always invite these organizations to reach back out to me. If there's a DVD that we provide and they encourage folks to go out and show them in their communities, that just is more information about the program, so that we're training somebody in the church and they're going out and continuing to train others. So I always invite them to, if they're interested in having a group at their church in the evening or on a weekend or whenever works for them, to show the DVD and provide the information to their congregation, I'm happy to come out and be a part of that.
And you've been able to do that, right? You've been able to go out and meet with some of those groups. Tell us how that's gone.
The ones that we've done so far have gone very well. There's good questions. There's good information that's shared from the audience. So it's not only people in the congregation connecting then back with me and with the VA, but with each other, and I think becoming more familiar with what's going on in their own community as far as veterans needs go.
And there's sort of a recognition in this program, and I think this is probably where the chaplain comes in, that there's a certain value that's received in sort of spirituality recognition and the role it might play in limiting one's impulse to commit suicide. So I found that sort of interesting, that the program incorporates and talks about that spirituality aspect.
Yes. Yes, we one of the goals with this program is to help bring some more understanding of the connection between spirituality and mental health, and how, you know, that connection for many people can be a very important and valuable connection to have.
I know the materials you sent me, there's a discussion that, you know, you have to recognize that somebody who's in that state of mind may feel abandoned by God, or feel guilty and struggling with forgiveness, or feeling mm-hmm. angry at God or a higher power. These all go to that spiritual harm that some warriors have when they come home, that they just are really grappling with, and maybe that's the anchor that's going to pull them down into that black hole, that suicide. So I think it's sort of interesting that this program recognizes that and is reaching out to the faith-based community to address it.
Sure, yes.
And when did this pilot program start, Mary Pat? And we're talking to Mary Pat Tucker, who's the suicide prevention coordinator with the Ann Arbor VA. When did it start, and how long will it go on?
We had our first event here in November of 2017. And like I mentioned, we do it county by county. We have had 13 events since November of 2017. We try to have about one every six weeks or so. However, that can, being in Michigan and Ohio, we know what winters are like, and we are hitting a lot of rural areas, so it slows down sometimes for us in the wintertime just because of, you know, never knowing what the winter weather is going to bring us. But we've had 13 events. We've had a total of 196 in attendance, and we have provided over 4,400 gun locks those events.
And explain why the VA and this program in particular is distributing gun locks.
Just a part of that lethal means safety that we're trying to get out there in the community and get more awareness of. Many times, if I'm talking to a veteran and they're telling me that they're having suicidal thoughts, I'm going to ask if there's a plan. And if there's a plan, is there a means? And if I'm hearing yes to those questions, and that my plan is a gun and I have one in the home, I'm going to talk about different ways to be safe with that. Yes, first we're going to ask, is there somebody else that can hold it for you? That's not always an option. Many people are not comfortable handing their firearm over to somebody else for a number of reasons, and I understand that. So then we talk about how can you keep it safe if it's going to stay in the home. A gun lock is something that is enough to slow down that impulse, even if it slows it down for, you know, 5-10 minutes, that can be enough to stop that impulsive action and acting out on that suicide attempt.
And how long will this pilot program continue on, Mary Pat?
That I don't have a definite answer to. Our plan now, because we have one more county in our catchment area that we're going to be scheduling later in the summer, and then our plan is part of the presentations that we do. What we do is we have what's called a collaboration agreement. So every organization that comes in, we ask them if they're willing to sign a collaboration agreement, which it's no legal document. It's just them saying yes, I want to work with you on this need in our community. So what we follow up with then after we have the events is those folks who have signed those collaboration agreements, we're reaching out to them now to say, how can we help next? How can we help you take these next steps in your community? Do you have more folks that are interested in coming to another training, or would you like us to come out, and meet with your church community. So we're following up in that way coming up. Also, something that we have going on in July is we're having our mental health summit is going to be out in the community this year at Dexter United Methodist Church. And the focus of our mental health summit this year is going to be our whole health initiative as well as this faith-based initiative. So we will be out there, again, inviting the church communities in Washtenaw as well as surrounding counties to come out to the summit to learn more about this program and how we can continue to connect.
And Mary Pat, if there is a faith-based organization that's looking for more information here, how do they get in touch with you or learn more about the program?
They can contact me directly, and my direct number is 567-225-3721. When we have these events, all of the information that's handed out, we have my number as a direct contact.
And one of the things, again, as we said, sort of step one here is for people to have handy the Veterans Crisis Line, which is 800-273-8255, and press 1 as the first prompt. And that's manned 24/7, 365 days a year. Whether you're a veteran in crisis or you know somebody who is, it's absolutely a way to get started with getting some help.
Yes.
Mary Pat, I want to thank you for taking some time today to talk about this faith-based initiative that VA is doing to work on the veteran suicide problem. The more boots on the ground and the more effort everybody puts into it, I think we can drive those numbers down and get them where they should be, not at the elevated levels they are.
That would be wonderful to see. One a day is too many.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you again for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.